Hello, welcome to Inventive Words, where we explore storytelling in all its forms. I'm Rob.
I'm Kate.
And last week we were looking at the so-called, air quotes, Super Thursday. Mm-hmm. So we were looking forward to the books that are coming out around September, October time, the ones that you might be getting or receiving for Christmas.
Yeah.
But this week we thought we'd have a look at the year gone by, and there's been some stats released about the best-selling books, the sort of mix of books, and also have a think about how our reading year has gone so far, because we're in July now, it's gone pretty quick.
Yeah, so we're obviously just over halfway through the year, a couple of weeks into July. So Rob was having a look at the bookseller, and he noticed that there was an interesting sort of breakdown of the different areas of the book market that are doing what, you know, like propping up the market in some cases. And I had actually spotted this as well. I had a flick through the paper magazine the other day, and it was quite interesting to see that, and this is something actually we've noticed at work, nonfiction has been massive this year. Really, really important. And of course, nonfiction includes cookery as well. But also, you know, certain of our nonfiction books that weren't even necessarily published this year have been doing really well. And just generally, lots of nonfiction people are reading. Maybe it's because of political climate. Maybe it's because people are wanting to do more kind of self-improvement. Or maybe it's just that I think nonfiction is maybe changing a little bit, so that there's you know, more and more of these kind of narrative nonfiction books, where it's not just a straight autobiography or a biography, or it's not just a kind of factual account of something. It's actually much more telling a story about something.
Hmm. So I thought this is quite a good way, because often we look at what people, we tell people what they perhaps should be reading. Mm. This is what people actually are reading, what sort of people have been buying. So, yeah, as you said, non-fiction is now 53% of all total book sales.
Mm.
So I don't know how that's sort of swung or that's increased, but yeah, fiction, which is what you and I tend to sort of lean towards. Adult fiction is about 23%, with the remainder made up of kids.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's quite interesting. I had no idea really that non-fiction, which I suppose is a much broader genre, I suppose, type of book. It's well over half the books that people are buying now.
I think that's really interesting. There's certain, and I mean, as I said, do bear in mind that cookery is part of that. We've had some real kind of cookery phenomenons in the last year, but then also in the last couple of years. So a certain Mr. Joe Wicks.
Yes.
So has sold, you know, God knows how many books, absolutely hordes.
Oh yes. I mean, because they've got the list here of the top five best-selling books of the year, and he is at number five. His original, you know, I'm guilty of that. I own all three of them.
Yep,
I haven't got
exactly.
haven't got around to buying his fourth one yet with friends, but he's been absolutely astounding. It's 166,000. This year alone.
And that's just this year.
Just this year alone.
And that's his first one. And he's got three other books all out and all selling really well. And there's, you know, your other, like, more celebrity, you know, traditional TV celebrity cooks like Mary Berry and Jamie Oliver and Nadia Hussein, who's on Bake Off. She's now got her second book that will be out, I think out just now. So those sort of people as well. Candice Brown, who was the recent Bake Off winner. All those sort of people. Rick Stein, Ottolenghi, you know, they've all got lots of cookery. And, you know, those sort of people do sell a lot of cookbooks. And there's also all the sort of YouTube and Instagram cookery people, as it were. Mm. Who are also, so that whole like section of cookery is selling really, really well, because it's becoming not, you know, not just literally what do you want to cook, but it's also like almost become a lifestyle thing.
Yeah. The fourth best selling book is The Couple Next Door by Shappi LaPena. 166. Oh, I got Joe Wicks's number wrong. 162. But yeah. So that's fiction title. Now,
yes.
I've seen that everywhere. I think it was was it a Richard and Judy or a W.H. Smith?
I think so, yeah.
I'm really keen to pick that one up and read it.
I know it's done really well, and it's selling in paperback. And once things get into paperback and they're popular, they tend to stay popular because you'll keep seeing them on the table in a bookshop, you know, at the top of the Amazon chart. They're very visible. So that's like with Girl on the Train or Gone Girl. Because they were popular, they stay popular, if that makes sense.
Now, 3 and 2, it's the same author. It's David Walliams. Mm. So this is the kids section of it. At 3, it's The World's Worst Children, number 2, which is feels like it only just come out, really. And then at number 2, it's Blob. Now, that's his World Book Day title.
Yes.
So obviously that was the clear winner there. Only £1. If we took that out, then the next best book after that would be actually Mary Berry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, David Walliams is consistently at the top of the children's charts because his books are genuinely very funny. Kind of in the style of something like Roald Dahl, a bit less dark than that, but that sort of thing. Nicely illustrated. And of course, he is a big name. And I think with parents who are wanting to buy a book for their children, you know, you want something where you think, oh, that's a, you know, I know that will be good. And people sort of trust him. So it works for children and parents.
He is now, but at the start, he wouldn't have been a big name for kids, would he? He wouldn't have been in anything.
No, but he would have been a big name for parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And the parents think, oh, well, you know, I've seen him in, you know, whatever it might be, Little Britain or something else. Oh, he's really funny. Now he has become a really familiar name for children as well. And I mean, particularly having done World Book Day, he's probably in a lot of school libraries at primary schools. So again, these things sort of take on a life of their own. But it's interesting that the whole children's market is about 23% of the total market. Because in, you know, when you look at column inches, it barely gets a look in. The Guardian used to have a dedicated children's and young adult books mini site, and you know, there would be dedicated coverage, but as they've had to shrink and tighten their belts, that's disappeared. There is hardly anywhere where you will get children's books being reviewed. So the only way really to find out about them is to go into a bookshop or to have things in a school library or authors come into school. It's very, very hard to actually tell people about new children's books, which is why I think you get those same people dominating the charts, and they have done for quite a long time. So like Julia Donaldson, you know, so these certain people and classics that just keep selling because people know about them. They've, you know, got people's attention. It is quite hard for new people to break through for children's. It's slightly easier for young adult, I think. Because there are more ways to get to those people and tell them about things. But it's very difficult.
And the best-selling book is Lee Child Night School, an author I've never actually read.
No, I never have either. And, I mean, is that a Jack Reacher one?
It is a Jack Reacher, yeah.
So, yeah, I think, I mean, that obviously got a new burst of life with the film, which I didn't go and see.
Two films,
yes. So that probably helped to reach more people. But I mean, he's such a brand. He came to our conference, our recent conference.
Oh, right.
He was really funny in person, very charming, actually, which I, you know, hadn't got any particular expectations of him. But yeah, he seems like quite an interesting guy and gave some great writing advice. But yeah, he's just mega popular. And it is, again, someone who everyone knows. So who is your first port of call when you're going to try a new book is going to be a name you recognise.
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll see how that changes by the end of the year. I reckon Dan Brown will be edging up there.
Yeah, definitely.
Quite a few of those will be. But how would you say your reading year has been so far?
Not too bad, actually. Let me just open Goodreads.
I've been looking at my Goodreads, and first thing I need to do is update it because I'm missing quite a few books on here. I've actually had a mixture of non-fiction and fiction. I think I'm leaning much towards non-fiction a bit more, mostly because I now read on the tube a lot more.
You do read a lot more non-fiction than I do, actually. I don't think I've got any non-fiction.
I can't remember the last non-fiction you read, actually. What would that have been? Do you know?
I've got no idea, to be honest. So I'm just looking through my reading challenge. So I have read, I set myself a target of 65 books for the whole year, and I've read 39.
Blimey. Well, mine's not up to date, but it says I've read 17, but I've got, I think that number's over 20 now. I need to add a few more on. It's telling me I'm 9 books behind already.
Mine was telling me off, but that was partly because I just wasn't updating it. I've actually read quite a bit of young adult this year. Here's a non-fiction book. I read the Hannah Witton sex education book called Doing It, which actually I thought was rather good. I've read quite a lot of young adult, and then sort of quite popular fiction this year, really. I reread Sense of an Ending, and there are some workbooks on here as well. But I did actually, the book that I'm reading at the moment, which is a lovely children's book that Oxford University Press sent me, is not on Goodreads at the moment. So I might have to log on to the proper desktop version and see if I can add it myself. I'm pretty pleased with that. Some of them were pretty quick reads. So I read Shiver and Linger, which are the first two parts of Maggie Stiefvater's The Wolves of Mercy Falls, and they were definitely quick reads. Some things that were quite chunky. Crooked Kingdom by Leigh Bardugo is pretty chunky. Spellslinger by Sebastian de Castell. That's quite a thick book, but quite a quick read. A few sort of feministy type books. I read The Power by Naomi Alderman. What else is there in here? Evening Primrose by Capano Macloa, I think is how you pronounce it.
That wouldn't ask me.
No. Which is set in South Africa, and it's about a nurse's experience of kind of sexism and racism, or a doctor's experience, I should say, sorry. Some quite an interesting mix of things so far. A real mix of sort of genre fiction, Gather the Daughters as well by Jenny Melamed, which I thought was great. Kind of genre fiction, lots of young adult. Quite an interesting mixed reading year so far.
I've definitely skewed more non-fiction than fiction, but I just finished Camino Island by John Grisham last night, and I sort of sped through that one. So I think I'm leaning a bit more towards some more fiction now. We'll talk a bit later on about what I'm going to be reading next. But yeah, I've read some stuff for work that I will eventually be allowed to talk about. I've read some authors that I've kind of returned to, so some John Grisham. I did the reread. I read Sense of an Ending after we saw the film.
Yes.
Which was good fun. I've discovered some new authors that I liked. Ellie Griffiths, I really enjoy her. It was The Zigzag Girl that I read. That's her, just two series, and this is more her set just after the war with magicians and murder and, you know.
Yeah, just all your sorts of things.
Exactly, ticks all the boxes, yes. I've read some non-fiction behind some sort of brands or companies that I like. So I read about the Pixar story, which is quite fascinating. A few things, like I said, for work. See What I've Done, which was a really... it's out now. It's really claustrophobically and well-written, sort of creepy, gets under your skin.
Very creepy.
Which technically is based on a true story. So, and then most of it's been done on my Kindle, actually. I'm always a sucker for the 99p deal, but I've read a few there. Lots of samples where I've tried things out. The Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell, I've talked about that one. I've already gone and bought the next Ellie Griffiths. So I think for me, I'd like to try and read a bit more fiction, I think. Dip into a bit more than that, because I kind of, not lost my way with fiction, but I hit a bit of a slump. But I think now I'm finding the right things again. When I do read them, I read them really quickly.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I quite enjoy what I'm reading. I I could read more nonfiction, but I don't have a particular urge to do that, to be honest. For me, reading tends to be, I mean, obviously there are things I have to do for work, but generally it's quite an escapist thing. So I don't necessarily think that nonfiction would fulfil that need.
Yeah, I think it's more of a functional thing. I think with nonfiction, I can dip in and out of it, you know, on the tube. You know how I've got this weird habit of reading to the end of chapters? I really hate giving up on a book in the middle of a chapter. I always like to find a natural break point. But then things like Dan Brown, where it has a one-page chapter, then, on the other hand, really irritates me. Wow. So, yeah, I have to try and find somewhere in the middle.
I see.
Have you thought about trying any audiobooks? You were going to.
I've just had Audible email me to tell me that I've got another credit waiting. So I might give something else a try. I actually thought I might listen to Sapiens.
Ah, yes.
Which is one of the books that we published that has been really, really popular this year in paperback. A few celebrities were talking about it, actually. Like Chris Evans talked about it on the radio. This, as in the DJ Chris Evans, not the not Captain America.
Well, if Captain America talked about it,
but
you know.
If Captain America does want a copy, I mean, just let me know. That's fine. but yeah, that's had a real, real resurgence, and I've read bits from it for work purposes, but I haven't actually read the whole thing. So you know, I'm actually quite intrigued to give that a try.
And it's just had a ringing endorsement from a certain reality TV show.
Absolutely. I mean, as we saw on Love Island, if you're in the UK, you're probably aware of this reality TV show, a load of, you know, in inverted commas, young, beautiful things stuck in a villa in Mallorca. And a guy called Jamie, who is a model?
Calvin Klein.
Calvin Klein, yeah. Model, was wooing one of the female contestants by telling her that his favourite books were Sapiens and Homo Deus, except I think he called it Amadeus.
But she knew where he was
going.
She
knew what he meant.
They were both fans of Richard Dawkins as well.
Yeah.
So there we are. That's a guaranteed seduction technique. And I mean, put that on the cover.
If they like nonfiction.
Yeah.
There we go.
So I finished Camino Island last night. But the book I've decided to read next, although what I read today, I've gone out and bought some Fitzgerald short stories to read.
Right.
Arriving tomorrow is Northern Lights.
Ah, very interesting.
Yes.
So as we've discussed previously, I read these as they came out, Northern Lights and then The Subtle Knife and then The Amber Spyglass. I've got them all in nice hardbacks, but we were talking about this the other day, and a few people are doing a sort of reread or read along before the new book comes out in the autumn. So we thought that we would give that a go because Rob has never read them.
No, I've not even seen the film, which I heard is a good thing.
It's not great.
Well, they never finished it, did they?
No, they didn't make the other two parts, so it shows you it didn't go down very well. But, I mean, I don't think it's terrible. It's got Daniel Craig in it.
So yes, I've bought myself the first paperback. I do have this. I do have them actually, but it's a rather intimidating hardback. Mm. And I thought lugging that around the tube. I didn't buy it on Kindle. I thought I'm going to buy it on paperback. So in about a week or so, I will have read it. Are you going to reread it?
Yes, I'm going to reread.
So do join in for that. Now is the time. All the books seem to be on offer in the UK in preparation for the new one, which you're planning on booking the day off, aren't you?
I was thinking about it because it actually, Super Thursday coincides with my birthday. There so it works out rather nicely.
So you could stay at home and await your delivery and then.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you. So when you had Harry Potter's on the day, do you devour them all in one go? Do you try and. Would you basically spend all day reading this book?
Right, so where I only did pre-order them and then read it straight away for the last two Harry Potter's, before that I went to the shop and bought them. But for, certainly for the last one, I have a feeling that might have come out in the summer holidays. And
I have memories of pre-ordering, like you said, the last couple and waiting for them to be delivered. But then a few of them, I seem to remember going on like the weekly shop to Tesco's and seeing a big stack of these hardbacks for like a fiver. Mm. I didn't feel the need to have it on the day. But then saying that, times were different then. We didn't have people spoiling it for us.
They were. But I know for the last two, I think we knew in advance that they were going to have big twists in them.
Yes.
And obviously the last one was the last one. So whatever happened in that one was going to be very dramatic. So I think that's why I pre-ordered those last two books. And certainly for the last one, I think it must have been the summer holidays. This is when I was teaching, because I literally got it in the post on the Thursday morning.
Yeah.
And I just sat and read it.
Mm. So that's what you're planning on doing, is do you reckon you read it the once, the twice?
Well, I'll probably read it once just to begin with, but I might well go back to it.
Yeah.
What I used to do with the Harry Potters is I used to try and reread at least the one before.
Oh, yes. I never did that.
And then read the new one.
Mm. Well, hopefully by the time it's out, I'm going to be a complete convert to this.
I would hope so. Yeah. They are genuinely brilliant and really, really interesting from a kind of moral and ethical point of view, as well as just being fantastic stories. And they've got the most amazing characters. Absolutely amazing. Kind of witches and people who live on barges and talking polar bears and this fantastic American sort of swashbuckling guy who has a hot air balloon and all sorts of amazing stuff. It's really brilliant.
Well, there we go. So we'll let you know. It'll probably be in about two or three weeks' time to give us both time to have read it again. So do join in along for that, and we'll try and do it as a regular thing.
But yeah, once we've decided like what's a kind of reasonable time scale, we'll probably tweet and let you all know.
I had considered listening to that on an audiobook actually at one point, but I think I want to.
I think it's worth just reading it, to be honest.
Well, I was thinking they're not easy to share. Anyway.
Yeah.
So do join in with us for that if you've ever been tempted or would like to reread and experience it all over again.
Now is the perfect time.
Now is the time. If you want to get in touch, you can send us an email, contact@adventuresofwords.com. We're on Twitter, @WordAdventures. You can head over onto the blog, adventuresofwords.com, and you can leave a comment under any of our posts. And you can also leave us a voicemail if you'd like to be heard on the show.
Yep, sharing your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you.
If you'd like to follow what I'm up to during the week, you can follow me at Rob Chilver on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and also Letterboxd, where we keep track of the films that we're watching.
Oh, I've got a few things I need to add to that. You can follow me during the week, definitely on Twitter and Snapchat, and, Twitter Instagram. And Instagram.
I was like, wow.
I was thinking, I don't know, listeners, if you know about this, but Snapchat now do these sort of sunglasses where you can also record video. And I just think it's really cool. I'm quite tempted to get some and have a go at doing this. I think it's really fun.
Right, didn't know that. Anyway.
Yeah. So for the maybe later on Snapchat, but certainly for the moment on Twitter and Instagram, and then we're both on Goodreads and Letterboxd as well. You can keep up with what we're reading and watching. Apologies if you're not a sports fan, but I'm tweeting a lot about sport at the moment because there just seems to be loads of great sport going on. So you'll get a bit of sport mixed in there too.
There we go. And thank you for listening.